Zdaj, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni lahko počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži.
Pozdravljeni torej v današnjem kultivatorju, kot je rečeno, Trump je na tapeti. Med vikendom je namreč novi stari ameriški predsednik z odlokom uvedel dodatne 25-odstotne carine na vse dobrine iz Mehike in Kanade in dodatne 10-odstotne carine na uvoz z Kitajske. Carine proti Kitajski so torej v torek stopile v veljavo in kitajsko ministrstvo za trgovino je takoj uvedlo carine na ameriški uvoz. Carine na uvoz iz Mehike in Kanade pa je Trump prej odpovedal oziroma odložil implementacijo za 30 dni, bojda po dogovoru z voditeljema obeh držav. In o tej mali carinski vojni bova torej danes z Matejem spregovorila v današnjem kultivatorju. Matej, pozdravljen, bi razložil, kaj točno je Trump upadlo na misel, da si je izmislil to pripoved.
Živjo. Torej, Trump je uradno naštel par razlogov za uvedbo carin. Prvi je, da so te tri države, se pravi Kanada, Mehika in Kitajska, glavne trgovinske partnerice Združenih držav, vendar imajo Združene države z vsemi trgovinski deficit, torej da iz vseh uvažajo več kot izvažajo. In s podražitvijo uvoza bi to razmerje popravil. Potem bi bile carine še pogajalsko orodje, s katerimi bi prisilil v sosednji državi, da bolj sodelujete z njimi v boju proti imigracijam in tihotapljenju drog, predvsem fentanila, ker to je tisto, s čimer Trump in republikanska stranka najbolj strašijo svoje voljivce. S carinami bi tudi zaščitil domače proizvajalce in obnovil ameriško industrijo in zagotovil delovna mesta. In to pa napoveduje skrati s tem, ko napoveduje večje izkoriščanje naravnih surovin na ozemlju Združenih držav.
Torej, če se naprej posvetiva omenjenemu deficitu, koliko je Trumpov odlog ekonomsko smiselen?
Na površju zveni čisto smiselno, po enostavni logiki, če kupiš več kot prodaš, si na izgubi, ampak ko govorimo o ZDA, ki je svetovni hegemon, je stvar bolj zapletena. V čem je problem trgovinskega deficita in koliko to velja za Združene države, razloži Matijas Goldman, ekonomist in profesor mednarodnega prava na EBS Univerzi za podjetništvo in pravo v Wiesbadenu.
For most countries in the world it's actually a problem to have a trade deficit. A trade deficit means that more goods are flowing into the country than goods are flowing out of the country. That means you need some amount. You need an amount of money to cover up the difference. That could be public money, like government money, or it could be private money. But in any case, it is a situation that is not sustainable because, you know, you have got a net outflow of money. And where is that going to come from? Well, for most countries, this is a problem and it can lead to long-term instability. For example, in the Eurozone crisis, these kinds of trade balance deficits were one of the root causes. Countries like Greece had a negative trade balance with the rest of the EU, and you know that created problems. That is what piled up the debt. Now there is one exception to this whole concept, and that is the United States. Why is that the case? Because the US dollar is a currency that everyone wants, and who controls the US dollar? Right. The United States. Now, that is a bit of a complicated thing, but let me explain it from that side. What would happen to a currency if you have a trade deficit under normal circumstances? For example, let's say you're a country like any country in Africa. I just spent some days in Tanzania. Let's say you're in Tanzania and you're having a trade deficit. Well, the currency of Tanzania, the shilingi, will decrease in value. Yeah, because no one wants your currency. You want to have a lot of goods and you will have to pay for these goods in other currencies. So you need to exchange your own currency against other currencies, mostly the dollar. And that means that the dollar will rise and your currency will fall. That is different for the United States, and that is why a trade deficit is not so much a problem for, not such terribly a problem for the United States.
Sledi še podrobnejša razlaga, kako lahko ZDA nadomestijo ta deficit in zakaj so zaradi deficita lahko nekaterih primerih celo na boljše.
And why is that the case? Because the dollar is the international reserve currency. Governments and private investors like to hold dollars because it enjoys a lot of confidence. It's a function of US economic and also military and political power. People know that, you know, the dollar will remain more or less stable. Well, sometimes it's a bit weaker, but then it will go up again. And maybe the Swiss franc is more stable than the dollar, but people will always want to have dollars unless something really fundamental changes. And if you control the dollar, that means that you basically can just create new dollars, you know, by taking on credit. Creating dollars is basically a form of credit, whether that is a credit with a central bank or whether it's, in extension, a credit with a private bank. And so the debt of the US government and of US investors is basically what funds the trade deficit, what has funded the trade deficit without having much of an impact on, or a devastating impact on the exchange rate of the US dollar, because people still want dollar because they think it's a trustworthy currency. So that is the simple story. Of course, there's a lot more complications to it, because after all, the US is having a trade deficit, which means in manufacturing, they're having, like, they're exporting less than they're importing. But there are other fields, especially services, where the United States is very, or where at least US companies are very, very good. Much of what they produce might not be produced in the United States, but elsewhere, the services they sell all around the world. Just think about big tech companies. So that is technically speaking not an income in the US, but it's an income of US companies who then have funds, which allows them and their owners and their employees to buy goods from abroad. So it's not that much of a problem for the United States anyway. And therefore, these tariffs probably are not necessary, so to say, to defend the United States as they would be necessary in case of another country.
Še dva statistična podatka. Trgovina z Mehiko, Kanado in Kitajsko predstavlja skupno 40% čezmejnega trgovanja ZDA. ZDA pa imajo za okrog 1 trilijon evrov deficita v tej trgovini.
Več o trgovini med temi tremi severnoameriškimi državami pa pojasni sogovorec.
The United States has a negative trade balance both with Canada and with Mexico. What does it trade with them? Well, with Mexico, it's a lot of goods. It's foodstuffs, but it's also manufactured goods. Cars. Many US car producers are nowadays producing in Mexico. It's also actually components for construction. So anything you need for building a house may come from Mexico, not necessarily lumber, but many other things. With Canada, it also has a negative trade deficit. It's a bit different there. Part of that also comprises fossils. Is that a problem for the United States? No. In general, if you're doing trade with countries which are more or less of the same status of economic development as you, which would be the case with with Canada in particular, both countries benefit from trade. That is the idea of the comparative advantage. That's a theory that is more than 200 years old. It was devised by David Ricardo, the Scottish economist and moral philosopher. And that means that even if you have a trade deficit, you will still benefit from it, because you can. It allows each country to specialize on whatever it is best at. So goods where Canada has a comparative advantage, you just buy them from there because it will be cheaper than producing them yourself, and you invest your resources in better things, like, for example, artificial intelligence or whatever, where the US has a very competitive edge. And so ultimately, that means that the trade agreements with the big trade agreement, the free trade zone with Mexico and with Canada, is advantageous for the United States. It leads, so to say, to cheaper consumer prices. Prices in the US would be higher without that free trade zone. And that is, of course, what Trump is now putting at risk.
Po uveljavitvi carin proti Kitajski je Kitajsko ministrstvo za trgovino Združenim državam vrnilo s carinami da določene ameriške proizvode, sicer je uvedlo 15% carine na premog in utekočinje zemljski plin ter 10% carine na surovo nafto, kmetijsko mehanizacijo in poltovornjake. Kitajska uprava za tržne regulacije pa je uvedla tudi omejitve izvoza kovin, wolfram, telur, bizmut, indij in molibden iz Kitajske. Te kovine so pomembne v energetski in orožarski industriji. V sredo je potem Kitajska še vložila tožbo proti ZDA pri Svetovni trgovinski organizaciji, ker po njihovem mnenju takšna enostranska uveljavitev carin krši pravila organizacije. Kitajske proti ukrepe pa pokomentira sogovorec.
They will definitely have an impact. They might to some extent set off the advantages that the United States is hoping to gain from, you know, for its trade balance from the imposed tariffs. Of course, if you impose tariffs of that kind, it means that you need to get the goods from elsewhere. Whether that will be home production or whether that will be production from Vietnam or elsewhere, we will have to see. But of course, if China is now imposing, let's say, countermeasures, tariffs on US products, that might set off part of the advantage, you know, part of the a desire to create jobs in the United States that they hope to gain from this. The exact impact is relatively difficult to assess. Much of that depends on really where you can get substitutes from or whether you can find different customers for the same product. Very often it is like this, that there's an immediate impact that leads to higher prices in the country that imposes the tariffs and losses and a shift of the trade balance to the negative in the country that is affected by the tariffs. But over time, things will adjust somewhat. So, of course, these countermeasures might actually be effective. And China is quite good at targeting its countermeasures in a way that would hit the United States.
Kanadski premier Justin Trudeau je v primeru, da se uveljavijo carine tudi proti Kanadi, prav tako napovedal proti ukrepe. Kanada ima veliko manj gospodarske moči, ampak kot pojasni sogovorec bi uvedli ciljne carine proti izbranim dobrinam in ti protiukrepi bi imeli politične posledice za Trumpa.
They don't have so much power because they're quite dependent on the United States. There is a very high degree of integration of the Canadian and US markets, unlike the Chinese and the US markets. So China is much freer to impose tariffs. But what I see is from the tariffs imposed by Canada, or from the countermeasures, and this by Canada, is that they're quite targeted. So a lot of dairy products and poultry are in the list, you know, just farming products. And well, guess what is the intention behind that? The intention, of course, is to target Trump supporters, especially, you know, in the rural areas of the United States that have lots of trade relations with Canada, for whom Canada is a welcome customer, and they won't sell that much anymore. So it's really to hit quite specifically the voter bases of Trump and make them discontent and make Trump therefore repeal or rethink the tariffs he has imposed.
Trump je napovedal carine tudi proti Evropski uniji. Kot razlog je tudi tu navedel deficit. Pravi, da Evropska unija kupuje premalo in da grdo izkorišča Američane, ampak carine za evropsko industrijo zaenkrat še ostajajo na ravni groženj. V zvezi s tem ni ameriški predsednik izdal še nobenega odloka. Kako bi lahko Evropska unija ukrepala, če se to dejansko zgodi, pa pojasni Goldman.
Well, it could be the same as with China. Of course, the EU is more dependent on imports into the US than the US is dependent on exports to Europe. But And it would hit European industry. I mean, the car industry above all, just manufactured goods, also machines that get exported to the United States. What could the EU do? I'm not sure the EU, it would make any sense for the EU to impose tariffs of any sorts, with some very few exceptions, but because, you know, for example, foodstuffs, et cetera, so stuff that hits the Trump voter base is not really products that the US is importing. I think what the EU would have to do is much more to look at antitrust and, you know, to look at the activities of US tech companies and take stringent action on them. And there's also a lot of discretion that the European Commission has in that regard. And that would hit them comparatively more heavily. It would also, of course, hit EU citizens because we could no longer use Google as we're using it, or any Meta service. But then again, that might be replaced with something new.
Ampak kot rečeno, je Trump zdaj dal carine proti Kanadi in Mehiki vsaj na pauzo. A zdaj misliš, da se bo oziroma se je uspel dogovoriti kot prav, ali se je sam ustrašil proti ukrepov, ki bi sledili in v resnici sploh ni resen s carinami?
Trump sicer trdi, da je dosegel dogovor s Trudeau in mehiško predsednico Claudio Sheinbaum. Pohvalil se je, da je izsilil od mehiške vlade, da napoti 10,000 vojakov na mejo z Združenimi državami in pomaga pri ustavljanju migracij in tihotapljenja drog. Mehiška vojska res pošilja te vojake na severno mejo, ampak Sheinbaum je rekla, da je Trump v zameno za mehiške vojake na meji obljubil ukrepe proti tihotapljenju orožja iz Združenih držav. Tudi glede Kanade, ameriški predsednik trdi, da je v zameno za odlok carin izpogajal določene strožje ukrepe proti migracijam in tihotapljenju drog. Torej, Trump se zdaj hvali, da je dejansko dosegel svoje, ampak kot pravi Barry Eindlin, profesor sociologije na Univerzi McGill v Montrealu, gre pravzaprav za to, oziroma pri teh obljubah, za to, kar sta se Trudeau in Sheinbaum s Trumpom dogovorila že prej.
Basically what happened was that Trump made a big fuss about imposing tariffs and then he had a phone call with Prime Minister Trudeau. He also had one with Claudia Sheinbaum in Mexico. And both Sheinbaum and Trudeau basically agreed to implement measures they had already implemented and then add a few show things. So Trudeau agreed to create a position called a fentanyl czar that is going to handle the fentanyl crisis and spend more money on border enforcement. So it seemed much more aimed at creating some high drama that focuses attention on Trump, confuses and sort of trying to confuse, destabilize, and otherwise sort of preoccupy his negotiating partners, so Canada and Mexico. And my sense is that, because the stated reasons for the tariffs are completely without any basis in fact. So the idea that there's some crisis of migration at the border and that there's some huge influx of fentanyl from Canada into the US is just completely wrong. Like, it is just like there's less than 1% of the fentanyl that's coming into the US is coming in from Canada. So my sense is that that's not really the point. And the point is to create destabilization and to sort of shake things up in advance of renegotiating continent-wide trade deals. I think that's really where Trump is headed with this.
Sogovorci tudi ne pričakuje, da bodo po enem mesecu carine dejansko uveljavljene.
It's very difficult to make any kind of prediction when you're talking about Trump, but my sense is that this is, you know, he approaches his presidency the way he approached his reality TV show, right? Where you need to sort of create these moments of high drama to create tension, and then you sort of have these resolutions. And I get the sense that there's a similar dynamic here where, you know, he'll be able to sort of after 30 days basically say, okay, well, we've gotten some good progress here from our partners and then he'll set the stage for the next crisis in the build-up towards the the trade negotiations. But I really think that it's the trade negotiations that are really in play here.
Andy, meni, da je namen Trumpovih akrobacij v resnici to, da sili spremembe trgovinskih sporazumov s sosednjima državama?
The US, Canada and Mexico have been in a trilateral trade, a so-called free trade agreement since 1994. It was initially called the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. And then during Trump's first term, he renegotiated it and it became the USMCA, the US-Mexico-Canada agreement. There's various policies about sort of like to sort of integrate continent-wide trade. And I think that what Trump is trying to do now is adopt, he has this America First trade policy where he wants to protect American industries. And so my guess is that he will want to renegotiate the trade agreements more in line with this more protectionist policy, which has all sorts of downstream consequences, because one of the consequences of 30 plus years of free trade agreements is that manufacturing supply chains in North America have become much more integrated. So the auto industry is probably the best example of that, where, there's no such thing anymore as an American-made car or a Canadian-made car or a Mexican-made car, because they're all made in all three countries and they will cross the border even multiple times.
Odlog carin se prav verjetno kaže na to, da Trump nima zares volja uveljaviti svojih ukazov o carinah.
Tako ocenjuje tudi Goldman.
He has imposed but suspended or paused the tariffs imposed on Mexico and Canada. So that shows already that he sees how much that would hit either his voter base or US consumers. In case of Canada, the countermeasures would target the voter base. In case of Mexico, it would hit US consumers on many, many levels. And so he sees the political cost of these tariffs. And I think also that is how we have to understand it. It's a sign of activity that has no basis in reality. And I think behind that is somehow the political mode of operation of an autocratic populist leader in these days. They always, consistently across the world, wherever you look at it, they consistently propose rapid action to change things very fast. And now, of course, he needs to deliver on that promise, and he's doing that by publicly imposing tariffs. And then, very silently, he sort of pauses it in an immediate second step. And I would not be surprised if these tariffs would be paused forever. And that doesn't mean that they won't have an impact, because, of course, that creates insecurity, and some economic actors might implement changes on the basis of that, because they just think, I don't want to bear the risk that ultimately these tariffs will be imposed. But nevertheless, the impact won't be that large, and it won't be that shocking that there is nothing like a Trump inflation, which would be a very likely scenario if all these tariffs were implemented in full.
Kakšne so pa reakcije v ZDA, glede na to, da Trump tega ni še izpeljal in da se ni nič še zares dogovoril?
V Združenih državah carine nimajo več neke velike pozornosti. Aktualne so bile v teh dveh dneh od odloka do enomesečnega odloga. Američani se več ukvarjajo z notranje političnimi zadevami, naprimer z odpuščanjem v državnih službah, prekinitvami financiranja javnih agencij, pa še nepotrjenim ministrom za vladno učinkovitost Elonom Muskom in njegovim prevzemom nadzora nad bančnimi podatki, davčnimi podatki, pardon. Tudi kitajski mediji se s tem niso dolgo ukvarjali. Daleč največji notranji politični efekt ima to dogajanje v Kanadi, ker se je vse skupaj zgodilo v ravno pravem času, to je v predvolilnem času. Najprej je Trump še dodatno sprovociral prebivalstvo z izjavami, da bo Kanada postala ameriška zvezna država, in z nazivanjem kanadskega premijeja Trudeauja z guvernerjem Kanade. To in carine so dejansko Trumpovo darilo Trudeauju in njegovi liberalni stranki. Trudeau je prejšnji mesec namreč napovedal odstop in predčasne volitve so že predvidene za marec in prej nepopularni liberalci zdaj lahko nabirajo podporo z nasprotovanjem Trumpu. O podrobnostih pa Aindlin.
In the face of Trump's tariffs, there's been this sort of rekindling of dormant Canadian patriotism, where I think a key feature of Canadian national identity is that we're not American. And so in the face of the combination of these tariffs and then Trump making noise about wanting to make Canada the 51st state has triggered this pushback and a lot more talk in Canada about, you know, not wanting to travel to the U.S., avoiding U.S. goods, that kind of thing. So which you really hadn't seen prior to the tariffs. The other interesting consequence in Canada is that it has really shaken up the political terrain in Canada, because earlier this year, our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, announced that he was going to resign because he had become so unpopular. And the opposition party, the Conservatives, were way ahead, like 20 points ahead in all the polls, and really seemed poised to just have this electoral landslide as soon as there was an election call. And so the Conservative Party was really champing at the bit to dissolve Parliament and have an election. But then now, since Trump came to power, and then he's talking about making Canada the 51st state, and he's imposing these tariffs, the focus now has shifted from we want to get rid of Justin Trudeau and everyone associated with him to who is going to be able to take on Trump and who is going to be able to defend Canada against Trump. And the problem is that the Conservative Party leader in Canada, Pierre Poilievre, is viewed as sort of a mini Trump in Canada. And in terms of his response to Trump's aggressive acts toward Canada, he hasn't really had much of a response. So it looks like this has significantly reduced the Conservative Party's chances of taking power in the upcoming elections.
Trump je torej naredil kanadske liberalce spet velike. Potem pa, če se vrnava nazaj na Trumpovo ekonomsko politiko, na neko trgovinsko vojno s Kitajsko se je šel že prejšnji mandat, ki ga je imel, s carinami je pa ravno tako že grozil v prejšnjem mandatu, se pravi, bi lahko rekel, da je to neko nadaljevanje.
Ja, Trump v bistvu nadaljuje svojo politiko iz prejšnjega mandata, isti protekcionizem in izolacionizem in ista neres sklede tega. Je pa to dogajanje sprememba od trenda v zadnjih nekaj desetletji proti bolj prosti mednarodni trgovini. Tako da za konec poslušamo še Goldmanov splošen komentar na Trumpovo ekonomsko politiko in njene potencialne posledice.
I don't think that there is much change to what we've had under the previous Trump presidency. Also note that Joe Biden's policy has not been as aggressive as Trump's policy, but it has followed a similar direction. Biden has not repealed the hard stance taken by Trump in his first term, and even under Obama, some steps were taken towards dismantling the current World Trade regime and also the World Trade Organization and its dispute settlement. And that all shows that this era of economically open borders is probably coming to an end. It also shows that there are major rifts between what used to be the Western Bloc, because Canada is firmly a part of it, so is the EU, also Mexico is part of the OECD, even though it's not part of NATO. But there is probably a shift towards a fundamentally new world order that we can recognize, one where large states attempt to play a sort of to become hegemon and to be imperialistic. And not to take any compromises and not to value cooperation, even though that would be economically more meaningful. So we see that politics is dictating economic decision-making, which is relatively new, at least at this level of in the field of trade relations. So ultimately, I'm not sure whether the current a system of international economic cooperation will survive in will survive the next decade. We might see some very fundamental changes here. And the question is, of course, how is the EU going to position itself in that? Is it going to look for new partners?
Kultivirala sva Matej in Živa.
E, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten. Noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi to mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži.